The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
It is that time. We've got Joel Gratz, managing partner with Christensen, PLLP, and you brought a special guest in today, Joel. First of all, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Bill. Good to see you again. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, and not quite ready for Christmas yet, but I guess it isn't that unusual for me to be last minute.
That's about where I'm at, too, so I haven't had much of a chance. But you mentioned a special guest, Bill, and this guy is very special, not only to me, but to our firm, Kyle Sonstely. He's a fellow farm tax guy with me. Will this be your third season, Kyle?
Third season at Christensen, yeah.
Third season at Christensen, and you had, what, 4 or 5 years before that experience at your former firm?
Yeah, I had 4 tax seasons and 4 years, so.
Mr. Sonstely is from northern Minnesota, Winger, Minnesota area. Grew up on a farm, can talk all farm all day long, except he did not milk cows. Is that correct?
I did not milk cows or have pigs.
Or have pigs. So he can do about everything else. And he's been a great ad for our team. And between myself and Kyle and Keith and John, we kind of do majority of the farm stuff at Christensen. And today our topic's about tax planning, which the farm guys and gals, we do a lot of, and we're right in the middle of that season right now, and we thought it'd be a great chance to introduce Kyle Sonstely to the world here at World Headquarters in Wilmer, Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, good to meet you, Kyle, and how do you like it? Do you notice it's a little warmer down here than where you grew up? It seemed like I went to radio school at Thief River, and I know it was the coldest winter I've lived through anyway the year I was up there.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably on average about 5 to 10 degrees warmer in Wilmer than it is in Winger. So,
yeah, and the used to have a big sales barn at Winger. Is that still going?
Still going. Still the best food in Winger.
There you go, Joel.
At the sales barn?
There you go, Joel. There's a bit of trivia for you.
That is. That's good to know. Thank you, Kyle. I'd make the trip up there for sure now.
And now that Winger is part of a conglomerate of schools. Is it Erskine and McIntosh? Are they still?
Yep. So it's Winnemac. So it'd be Winger, Erskine, McIntosh. But then we got a few surrounding towns around it, like Mentor and Brooks and Bijou, that also make up our school. So
right. Yeah.
And my understanding is he's one of the greatest athletes that ever went through the hallways at Winnemac. So we're really fortunate to have such a guy that's so well-rounded and so beloved.
Yeah. So now the crops are a little different up there. I mean, you know, although you seem like you're seeing more corn in that part of the state now, too, than maybe there was at one time. But you still have some sugar beets up there and so forth. Are you close enough to the valley or?
Yep. So we actually on our farm did sugar beets for about 10 years and then we quit in 2011. But yeah, genetics and corn for our area has just skyrocketed. And we used to get 130 to 140 average on corn, and it's just gone through the roof in the last 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing. Shocking, isn't it? I know up in the North Dakota, they're planting more corn, and up in the Canada, too, for that matter. So, yeah. Well, Joel, when it comes to planning, I mean, that's kind of the key to a lot of things. It seemed like we saw a fair amount of new grain bins go up. In the last couple of years, there's been some nice equipment that's been added to, you know, the farmer's repertoire. But right now, it seems like it's a hard time to get things, even if you, you know, want to buy something with this kind of shortage of everything, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, with the recent laws, they increased the Section 179 to that $1,050,000, I believe it is right now. So machinery is a good way to do things, but you're right. They're having a hard time finding that machinery to even deduct if they wanted to. And we always stress, don't just buy stuff just because of the tax deduction. Make sure that you are getting it for the right reasons, for your business first, right, operationally first. And you're right, with the yields that we've been getting, and fortunate even this year with how dry it was down here, surprisingly good yields, just more on-farm storage was needed. And there's been some, you know, steady increases in the commodity prices for a lot of reasons, supply, demand, what have you. So the farm economy is as strong as it maybe has been for a while. Right before that, there was probably a dip. There was pretty pretty skinny there, you know, the 20 crop, maybe the 19 as well. So there's income out there, and Kyle can probably attest to, we don't like the highs and the lows in tax planning. We like to keep you kind of straight line as much as we can, you know, unless there's a change in acres or a change in, you know, different things. Because that just is the most tax efficient, you know. To have the big spikes and the big lows, you don't quite maximize all the different things you want to do. So we think planning is important. And for the guys and gals who don't plan, there's always surprises. And I, in tax, Kyle, I'm pretty sure you don't like surprises either. And Bill, I'm sure any surprises in your life is probably not as welcome either. But so we try to keep the surprises out of it so they can kind of plan and they can cash flow. They kind of know what their tax bill is. And that's our goals with year-end tax planning.
Yeah. Well, there are some surprises, like, say, suddenly you find out you've won the lottery or something, or had a rich uncle you didn't know about, but...
Did you win the lottery this weekend, Bill?
I haven't played the lottery much. Yeah, I just kind of forget all about it all the time.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But so how long do you like to kind of, you know, plan out and out ahead then, Kyle? What are you trying to do, as Joel mentioned, to kind of, you know, even things out to... because it's, you know, some things are hard to predict, like some of the tax policy and then the weather and different things like that.
Yeah, I would say that governmental changes have been our biggest flaw, or the biggest struggle here in the last few years. I mean, 2018, they retroactively changed Minnesota, and they added 199A and all these different things that have just made the tax law, I think, in the last 3 years, probably the most difficult it's ever been. So now we're trying to do a short-term plan with a long-term goal in mind, and I think that's to retire. So we're looking at retirement planning, HSA contributions, and maxing out credits when we can. Trying to avoid phasing out of different things and making their tax as efficient as possible moving forward.
Yeah, it's kind of a twofold, you know, kind of game we play, where it's a short term or how much tax you want to pay this year, but we also have to look at the carry. We call it inventory or the carry, right? Which not only is bushels, but price, right? And this year, price is probably on the corn, probably a dollar higher per bushel than last year. Even though bushels are down, a lot of my clients have a bigger carry. And we don't like that carry to get too big, because when that snowball, we call it, gets too big, it's just going to crush you at some point. Now, it only takes one bad year probably to eat up that snowball, but now with crop insurance and some of the unique products and hedging and risk management our producers can do, and they're more sophisticated than ever, we don't see the big dip, do we, even on the bad crop years, Kyle? So you know, that horizon, if you're not looking at retirement, you know, it's probably that 2 to 3, you know, at minimum 2 years. We look at two tax years together. We look at tax changes. We've had more tax policy changes in the last 3 years than I have my entire career before that. So you're, like Kyle said, that's been our biggest challenge, is to work through that. But if you're looking at retiring, we think 5 years, like if you can somehow say, I'm 65 right now, and I want to be done when I'm 70, that'd be a perfect scenario, wouldn't you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I think 5 years gives us enough time to worry about the inventory and machinery that we got sitting around, and looking at gifts possibly to kids and figuring our way around the system as best we can to save tax.
Right, and there's not one, like, set way each client should do it. Every client has a different need. Each client has a different, you know, desire. They may have, you know, heirs who are going to farm. They may have heirs who've all moved away, you know. So there's so many different things that go into the play. But that's a great question. You know, what is the horizon, you know, should be? My dad's 79, and he's still farming full-time. You know my dad very well, Bill. Yeah. And he just thinks he's going to farm till he passes, which, you know, is okay. But when it comes to planning, he's probably not the best thing to do. He hasn't picked that day. He just kind of does his thing, and he says, I'll just figure it out someday if and when he passes away. And I say if, because he might live forever, you know.
So. You know, that's somewhat human nature, though. We don't really like to plan for the end of things. You know, it's
morbid. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of avoid it, and you figure, if I don't think about it and don't engage in it. But, you know, there's, I would think, a certain peace of mind, though, too, with having a plan. in place. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, and now would you say an average, you know, say a lot of people are maybe hanging on to their property, though. They're maybe renting it out just to supplement their income even after they've retired.
That's usually an asset we like to keep with mom and dad because mm-hmm. that's going to fund their retirement, right? That rent, that cash flow, that annuity, if you will, is a good tool to have. Plus, we like to have the step up in basis, right, at the end for if the kids are farming it or if the kids are not there, you know, to save the capital gains. So mm-hmm. that is an asset we usually like to keep to the very end. That's one of those few assets we do. And I know we're kind of getting into estate planning, but it all ties together, doesn't it? You know, the tax planning as well. And right now we got this new bill, the Build Back Better. I can't even say it right. Triple B. I don't know. What's the right code name now, Kyle, for this thing?
I always call it just the BBB plan. Or Bill.
BBB, that's a lot of B's, like Bill Dean and a lot of B's there.
Well, there's the Better Business Bureau, too.
That's what I'm saying, it confuses you, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on in there, Kyle, right now on that plan, potentially?
Well, a lot of it is, a lot of it's going to affect the lower income people, and it's going to give them a lot of opportunities when they have kids to save a lot of money through tax credits. So right now we're looking at the $3,600 tax credit for children under six and a $3,000 credit for anyone over six up to 17. And those extension payments or those child tax credit payments that you've been getting for the last year, they're still going to be a thing until 2025. So if you want to elect out of that, you have to do that for both the husband and wife.
The advanced child tax credit is going to be on the books now until
2025.
Awesome.
And obviously this hasn't passed the Senate, but this is what it's looking like.
And that's a great point. The House passed it. The Correct. Senate's more than likely going to chew this thing apart. So we really don't know what's going to happen, Bill, at the end of the day, right, Kyle?
Exactly. And apparently the Senate did send the House or is sending the House a proposal today.
Today.
So they're going to have we're going to have a better idea of what exactly is going to happen after today, but
yeah.
It's looking like the individual tax rate is going to go up to 39.6% instead of 37%.
And they're starting it sooner.
Sooner.
Right?
Correct.
Like right now it's like 600,000 plus.
Yep.
At 37, now they're going to bring into 39.6 at like 450?
450,000 for married filing joint. Yep.
Are you impressed, Bill? I'm doing this all from the top of my head.
Yeah.
Is that impressive or what?
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, I've heard a few of these numbers floated about, but now I haven't heard much about it lately.
Right.
So,
which makes that two-year planning window very important, right? Because then if we think we have, a lot of our business owners do end up in that very close to that line, yep. including our farmers at times, which year do you want to put it in, you know? So that we could be saving tax by accelerating income, which is usually the kiss of death for most producers on a cash basis, but that's where that two-year window comes into play.
And I suppose you wish you had more kids now, Joel, that you could still get your tax credits
on. You know, Bill, that's a great question. I have four sons, and I love them all, but four's enough. Yeah, four's enough. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what now? You have one in high school yet, or...?
I got two in high school. Okay. I have a freshman, believe it or not, and a junior. I know I look much older than that, Bill, that I should be done.
Oh, no.
But I was the youngest parent in the first one, and I'm the oldest parent now in this last Joseph, my youngest class. But yeah, we're still going hard. Keeps you young.
Yeah.
Right?
It does.
Keeps you young. It does.
A lot of people say that, you know, that it gets to be kind of frantic, but yet they really miss it when the kids are basically moved away and onto their own lives. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what else do we have on it? What other changes do you think, Kyle, are going to impact, you know, the future as far as with this Build Back Better plan?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest three things that I'm seeing in it is the capital gain rate for the highest rate is going to go up to 25%. So if you have a big sale or big sale of land or something, that could really affect you. The NIT tax is going to be applicable to business income once you get over a certain limit. So the AGI limit for married filing joint is $500,000.
The NIT tax is a net investment tax that was created 3 years ago. No, that's right. 3.8% surcharge, I'd call it, or an additional tax that used to be only on what we would call passive investment income, like stocks, you know, dividend stuff from the Microsofts, whatever. Now they are proposing, and this is one is a killer, is where if you're a self-employed business owner who has an S-Corp or partnership, they're going to tax that income at that additional 3.8%, after we already pay the 15.3 self-employment tax if you're a partnership, this tax gets to be kind of tax on tax on tax. So that's the one, if I could be honest, Kyle, freaks me out the most. Yep. And I hope that one goes to the trash. But that's what passed the House bill. And again, that's over 400,000 or 500,000.
500,000 for married filing joint, 400 for single.
Yep. So you gotta watch for that. And again, this year has been extremely hard to plan, Bill, because we don't know. We'd like to bring more income in, but you'd hate to do that if it's not going to happen. But so yeah, that I agree with you, Kyle. That's a big one.
And then the estate gift exemption for anything over $5 million per individual, which is about half of what it used to be. So you could start getting into that 40% estate tax bracket pretty quick.
Yeah, right now it's $11.3 million lifetime exemption with your gift exemption per person. So it's essentially cutting it in half,
right?
Which, again, if we knew that was going to be effective, you can do things now, but we don't even know. So you hate to make moves that you wouldn't have to make. So we're hoping that one goes to the trash too. But yeah. I don't know.
There is an exemption for family farm land.
Good point.
That stays at the $11,700,000. So that helps us with our farm planning. But for other businesses, it could really affect them hard.
Yeah. It can be tough enough to pass a business down as it is, right? I mean,
yes.
Then you add these extra costs in there and...
Right.
And,
right. But for the brackets, they're going to be pretty much the same, except for creating recreating or bringing back the highest bracket of 39.6. So for our listeners today, Kyle, who are making $172,000, you know, gross income or less, married filing joint, do you see a lot of change for those guys?
I don't see much change that's going to affect them, except maybe some phase outs on some credits for their children or marriage credits and stuff like that.
The other big item they're talking about, Kyle, is the SALT tax, the cap on the 10G. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so right now on the itemized deduction form, you're limited to a $10,000 tax limit to deduct. And now they're proposing probably an income limit. So if your income's under $400,000, you're allowed to write off all of your state tax on your individual return. So if you're in that $200,000 range and you're paying $15,000 in state tax, you're going to be able to deduct more, which is going to help you deduct your mortgage interest, your charitable contributions, your medical expenses and stuff. So
when they stack up together, and if it's greater married filing joint of about $25,000, which in the old days, before that, it was $12,000, the state tax always got you over the top, right?
Right.
So when they capped it at 10, we went from, 70% of our people in our office itemizing to 15%.
Yeah, I believe it.
So this would change the game for a lot of our business owners, especially here in Minnesota, high-tax state. We think that'd be a great one to add, although there's AMT considerations that you have to think about, but I'll still take my chances on the ADG or if they take away the cap, for sure.
Yep, and hopefully if you're under $250,000, you have an exemption that should keep you clear from the AMT tax.
From the AMT, alternate minimum tax.
Yeah.
Not trying to complicate life here, Bill, but that's why you want to hire a professional, because there's like 87 calculations going on at one time. And that's why we spend crazy amounts of money on software. But
yeah.
I couldn't do it longhand.
Yeah. But hopefully now, as you said, if this thing is going to either, you know, move forward, maybe a most likely a trim down addition of it, some of these things won't fly. And
right.
But
and most are 22, you know, except for the capital gain rate
after that, September
something 21. Yeah, so that's the only one that might be retro, so that I like. But if things change, then it might snowball to Minnesota, because then they may have to take action legislatively.
And we know how long that takes.
Yes. I wasn't going to say it, but you're right, Bill.
So any questions at all they should call you guys?
Any questions, you know, right now, give us a call at 320-235-5937. It's better to know than to guess, Bill, you know.
Yeah.
And if you have any doubt in your mind, give us a shout. We'll do some math. We'll do some bar napkin math for you, right, Kyle?
Yeah, that's what it comes up to.
Yep. He didn't know what to say when I said bar napkin, right? So, no, we'll come in and do the hard math for you and we can give you an educated decision, right? It's still the client's decision, not ours. We offer recommendations. We talk them through it. And in a world of we don't know, we've had to give them like three scenarios, right? Like, well, if tax law changes, this is how much you could save, but we don't know that. How do you want to do this? How big's your carry? You know, there's a lot of things that go into it at the end of the year to get all this to work.
Yeah, anything else you'd like to add, Kyle, before we let you run here?
Pretty I much don't think cover? I have much more that's going to affect the everyday mm-hmm. people, except maybe the limit on backdoor Roths is going to go down. So if your income's over $400,000, you can no longer do a backdoor Roth.
Yeah, there's a few other,
there's a few little things.
They're focusing on the high, what they call high wealth. Yeah. There's another, after a million, isn't there a surtax of 3.8% after a million, or is it 5%?
AGI surplus surcharge tax on individuals over $5 million.
How much is that?
3.8?
3%. 3%. And yep. If you're over $5 million, there's another 5. So that's what they're going after, which, you know, the whole theory, who should pay the most tax? Is it a percentage you want to focus on, or is it dollars? The middle class still bears the load, right? It's a percentage of their income, they pay the most. There's no question. So I'm not here to debate politically who should be paying it and if they should add more to the top end or not. But the dollars will come faster, in theory, if there's there. But there's so many loopholes, Bill, that some of those folks in that bracket, they never make that bracket anyway. But hard to say. You know, yeah. In a complicated tax system like we have, you're going to find ways around it, right?
Yeah. There'll be a future for you guys. I don't think they're going to phase out your jobs anytime soon. It doesn't.
Well, we can always go back to farming, right, Kyle?
That's right. And if we make it a little bit easier, well, then our job gets a little easier. But I don't see that coming. So
no. Yeah, no, unfortunately not. I can rock pick really good, too. out there, if anybody wants me to rock pick, I'm pretty good at that. I can shovel grain really fast still. Mm-hmm. I can climb bins. Can you climb bins, Kyle?
Yep, I just did it last year.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kyle also just got married, by the way. Congratulations to you, yeah. Kyle. He got married in Mexico,
yep. Isla Mujeres.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a little island right off of Cancun.
Yeah. Okay. So good for him. His wife, Michelle, who works here in town at
Caris Health.
Mm-hmm. So we love that when new people come into town. And yeah. So we're really pleased to have the Sosteles here. And love you, man. All right.
Good to meet you, Kyle. Try to keep this guy in line. That'll be a full-time job right there. There's no doubt about it. So good to see you guys.
Thanks, Bill.